You know, God has an established divine order. And it's through that divine order that he accomplishes everything that he accomplishes the way that he accomplishes it. Now, if we look into the Bible, as we're going to do here in just a moment, we're going to take a little journey. And I'm going to walk you through so you can see how his divine order plays out. How that everything with God is done with purpose. He is intentional about everything he does, and he has a purpose and a reason for everything that he accomplishes. And if we can understand that, then maybe our own lives would make a little more sense, because you're not here just as mere happenstance. You didn't just show up on this earth randomly to wander around with nothing to do until you finally return back to the dirt. If you were put here, you were put here strategically, and the biggest travesty that could ever occur in this life is the fact that you never found your purpose or figured out your destiny in this life for yourself. Because everyone here is important. Everyone here matters. But you will never understand your place or find yourself in the place you need to be until you understand God's divine order. So I'm going to start in 1 John 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." So there are three entities, but one God, but they are all one. They are so one that even though we can speak of them as individuals, they are all still the same. That's how close in unity they are. Now, this is hard to grasp the concept with the human mind, because God's ways are higher than ours. His thinking is higher than ours. But through the mind of Christ, which he gives us when the Spirit of Christ lives in us and rules our life, we can understand things that everyday folks have no concept of. But in order for us to be able to get to the point where we are able to establish our destinies, to be able to do what we're called to do, we have to look in and see this divine order. And then make sure that same divine order is speaking to our life, watch this, and working through our life. So we have the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and they're all one. And we see in Genesis 1, at the beginning of creation, the beginning of everything, we start to see the pattern. It said God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we see God, Spirit, the Word, they're all there. And then the Spirit of God within God begins to hover. Now that word hover literally means to vibrate or to shake. So when God starts to move, he starts shaking stuff up. Literally, that's what the term means. And when you look at hover in the old appearance, every time you see it occur, it speaks to divine activity that is both protective and powerful. So anytime God shows up, he's there to protect, and he comes in a powerful way, but you better believe he's going to shake some things up. Because things start to move when God starts to move. So Jeremiah 29:11 says it this way. He speaks to a prophet and says, "I know the plans I have for you." Now it's important you need to hear this for you today. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. It's so you can have a future and you can have hope. When God moves and you start seeing shaking up things in your life and he begins to move, you have to understand what he's doing based on the pattern of what he's done. When God starts to move in your life, he's not trying to punish you. Listen to me, somebody. He's not trying to teach you a lesson. He's there for one reason. He's there to restore you. Now, why am I saying that? Because somebody here today is mad at God. Somebody here today is frustrated at God because you don't like the way he did something, or you thought maybe he did something that was against you to violate you personally, that you thought maybe he was trying to teach you a lesson. He's trying to do something, you know. Let me tell you, somebody died in your family and it was your fault, so he let him die so you wouldn't do that again. Now, I've heard people say this. Well, they wouldn't have died if it wasn't for me. Hey, Bible says work out your own salvation. In fact, you did something that has nothing to do with somebody else. Let's get everything in the hampers they belong in. Because the devil will use any of those things to destroy you if he can get you in a lie. And then if he can get you in a lie, he can get you yoked up against the God, the only God who can help you. He'll turn you from your help. But see, if you understand God's divine order, you know that God would never do such a thing. God is here for one thing, to restore you. And let me tell you something, when it restores you, it will always put you back better than you were before. Look at your neighbor and say, new and improved. Now, we see how God and His Spirit was brooding over the water, hovering over the water, shaking things up. We see it again here in the New Covenant. So, Mark 1, verse 10. And straightway, coming up out of the water, Jesus is getting baptized, right? He comes up out of the water, and the heavens open. The Spirit, three things mentioned here. The Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Wow. So we see now the Spirit, God moving again, moving on Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of God hovered over the waters during the beginning, trying to get things started. So now we see the same Spirit stirring over Jesus. Why? Because he's starting to create something. He's starting to put new. He descends upon Jesus, signifying a new creation. The anointing of Jesus, the Messiah. And let me tell you, at the moment he started with the anointing, shaking up, stirring, making a new creation in Jesus, calling him to the place that he was called to be, being the one who he was called to be, doing the thing he was supposed to be, things started shaking. Things started changing. Now, if you look at the second thing, a dove. Remember the dove? Sitting on him like a dove. Why does it say a dove? Because that dove also, you remember Noah on the ark? It signified, when that dove came, it signified the end of the flood. The end of one era and the beginning of a new one. See, when God shows up and starts moving, your past is about to become the old. And your presence is about to become new, the new creation, the new you, the new and improved you. Look at James and say, it's all about to get gooder. I can say that. Yeah, beginning of a new era. And then the final statement there says, basically is speaking to the prophecy of Isaiah 11:2. When he speaks of the Spirit of the Lord that starts resting upon Messiah, endowing him with wisdom and understanding and power. So now, I call that equipping. See, when God restores you, he won't leave you in the same ignorant state you were in. He won't leave you in the same confused state you were in. He will take what was old, he will make the parts that were lies into truth. And then that truth will teach you. And then the Spirit upon him will begin to teach you all things, even things that you never knew before. He starts equipping you, preparing you. Why? Because that is the divine order of God. And as long as God's moving in your life, you will continue to see him establishing these things in your life. So we had Spirit hovering, but now watch what happens next. And this is the part somebody needs to hear me today. Because this is the age-old adage where we start dividing, you know, Pentecostal from faith, and this one believes this and this. We all have to believe together. But we do have to understand priority. Can you say amen? Now listen, I'm all about the shout, I'm all about the dance, I'm all about all the prayer, and all those things. So we'll talk about them in a minute, but I have to look at what happened here. Because there he is, hovering over the water. God's moving. He's protective. He's powerful. All three are present. They're all one. They're all there. Say, they're all there. But you notice the chaos is still present. Nothing came into order until God spoke his word. So things were moving, things were shaking. Everyone was present. The present was so heavy. I imagine if you'd have been standing there, you'd have been flattened because it was so strong. But nothing changed until the word was spoken. And why? Because God's presence alone does not restore order. His word does. I don't understand. I've been praying. I don't understand. I've been praising. I've been worshiping. I've been worshiping, dancing so hard. My bitches hit my knees out dancing so hard. All that's good. All that's necessary. And certainly we need those atmospheres that are present because God requires our praise. He requires our worship. And everything there is good. We just forgot something. We forgot the word. His spirit restores life. So the word restores order. So if your life's out of order, something's out of order, you better get the word on it. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to step away here when I say this for a minute. And when you get the word on it, it'll come back in order. You don't need a word. You need his word. Quit looking to people to give you a word. Some of the craziest stuff I ever heard came out of people's mouths saying that it was a word from the Lord. That wasn't a word from the Lord. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if they ate too much pizza the night before. I don't know if they're hungover. I don't know what happened, but I've heard some of the craziest words. Let me tell you something. If it's a word from God, it'll line up with everything else he's told you. If it's a word from God, it will be in agreement with all the people he's put over you in your life that have spoken. It'll go, dunk, dunk, dunk. It'll connect all those dots and go, oh, that, now that's a word from the Lord. If it doesn't, it wasn't. Say it again. If it doesn't, it wasn't. It wasn't a word from the Lord. You need the word to set your life. Do you know how many times I've heard a word? And I've had to go back to the word and straighten that garbage out. I've had to sit down and say, listen, I appreciate what you're saying, and I believe it's heartfelt, and I know you got goosebumps, and you shook, and maybe you sweated, maybe you spoke in tongues or thought you did. I don't know what happened. I'm just telling you what you're saying. It's not consistent with the word, and it's not God. Only one way to fix crazy, that's with the word. Let's just say it. So his word will set things back in order. But listen, his spirit restores life. So his spirit comes in and he teaches you. And he guides you. He comforts you. He empowers you. And he helps you, watch this, to take the word and to be able to apply it in the right setting. And also to put it in the proper perspective. Not spin it, because you ever seen somebody spin the word? And they'll jack it up. They'll quote three or four scriptures. It'll be so jacked up by the time it's done, you don't even know where they're at. I don't even know it's the Bible anymore. Say, what version's that? That's the first and second book of opinions. By the way, there are no first and second book of opinions for some of y'all that didn't know that. So his word set things in order. So praying, praising, worshiping, all these are necessary things. I'm not saying you have to have it because you need it. But you've got to have God's word present continually if you want to get your life in order and you want to keep it there. Can you say amen? So now let's turn. If I look at the Old Testament, in the beginning, God spoke his word, and he spoke it into chaos, and he brought order, correct? And the divine order went something like this. Now watch, I want you to get this. He spoke to the containers of life, and then he filled them with life. Let me break it down so you can see it. He spoke to the earth to form it. Then the earth came forth. The earth then was a container. Then in that container, he could fill it with life. He spoke every seed, which produced the vegetation. He produced all the animals. All the life came after he prepared the container. And then he spoke to the waters. And when the waters separated and merged, the container was prepared. Then he told the fish and all the sea life and all that stuff to be able to come to it. So God's all about getting the container. When he made mankind, he made a vessel of clay, spit up in the dust, formed a vessel, a container. Are you listening? Then he what? He breathed the breath of life. He filled it with life. The breath of life. And this is God's divine order. You have to see this. You have to understand it, or you don't know how God works. So then let's pull it through the cross. Let's go to the New Testament and let's see what it looks like on the other side of the cross. Because here comes Jesus. First thing he says is, I only do those things I see my Father do. So why did Jesus come? He said he came to give life and to give it so it would be more abundant, right? You could have life and have it more abundantly. Let's say it this way, life and have a lot of life. But he only does the things he sees his fathers do. So before he can fill it with life, he's got to look at the container. This means he has to prepare the container before he can fill it with life. So what he does is he destroys the old containers. In other words, you have to die to flesh. A life for a life. And make new ones. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, when you look into the New Testament, he uses different terms because before he could fill it with life, he had to prepare the container. And so the way he does that is he prepares that container, then he pours himself into that vessel, and that life becomes the light of men. But there's a way he does it. And the term he uses here is old and new wineskins. Matthew 9:17, it says, nor do they put new wine in old wineskins. He can't fill you with truth and peace and purpose and power if you still got the old wineskin. Why? Because it says the wineskin will break, can't hold it. You can't hold God's glory in your present state. You have to have a new state. And if you try, the only person you're fooling is yourself. How many people tried that I'm going to do better thing? Let's talk. I got to walk away for a minute. Oh, I'm going to do better. I remember I'd come away from an altar and I'd repent, and I meant it. When I was a young man, I meant what I said. That'd be Saturday night, because Friday night I was still partying. So Saturday night, because I wanted to get the full weekend in, I'd be in a revival, and I'd get under conviction. Lord, start making deals with God. Yeah, God. You do this and I'll do that. I ain't going to drink for a month. Give my word, I ain't going to drink for a month. Where do you suppose I was Friday night? Right back in that bar, that club, that party, whatever it was. And I'd be right back in the same shape again. And then what happened is you just start doing that thing over and over, and then bad things start happening in your life. Start getting hooked up with wrong people in wrong places, doing wrong things, and that vessel starts to break. Why? Because it's trying to hold God's glory, but it can't hold it. And you're sitting there in conviction every Sunday. You're trying to listen, and the word's coming in, and it's mixed with untruth. And it just, you got to make a decision. Can't serve two masters. And so we play these games. Well, then watch this. Some of us go ahead and get saved. We go ahead and get it fixed, and we actually get it right. And we start slipping back. And we still can't make up our mind. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to get in our order of doing things? Or are we going to stay in divine order? Because if we don't get into divine order, we're not going to get the expected result that God has for our life. Now listen to me. There's only one way to get a new wineskin. The only way you get a new wineskin is something has to die. So Jesus is the Word made flesh. So we die to our flesh. So His Word becomes our flesh. Do you remember when I taught, for some of you, we have new faces, when I taught on Shema? You see, Shema is, there's a Yiddish word akin called kishkas. And what it means is intestines. And so, how many people have heard the saying, you are what you eat? So you eat something, you eat food, and when you ingest it, it breaks into molecules, and it becomes one with you. It goes to your energy systems, it goes to your arms, your legs, your body, and every part of your body, you become that food. You are what you eat. Okay? That's what the word kishka means. So when you Shema, and you love the God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul, that's a Shema. And what that means is that you're getting it down in your kishkas. Every time you take the word, it comes in. And just like that food, it becomes one with every part of who you are. Until you are like the three that testify in heaven. And they're all one. And then Jesus, the Word made flesh, becomes your flesh, and you become one where you can't separate that Word from who you are. That is being one with God. That is loving God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. So God fills us with His Spirit by His Word. And because He fills us with the Spirit by His Word, now we're new creations. Literally, new folk. There's nothing worse than someone who isn't who they think they are. Some of you haven't realized that you're new now. You're not the old person. You keep trying to act like that when that's not who you are. Keep trying to go back and be that when that's not who you are now. I don't know who you were. Have you ever been telling your kids or people old war stories about yourself? You're not proud of them, but you're going with it. And it almost seems like you're talking about somebody else. You ever done that? God, I can't even believe it. I remember back then, we used to run the streets every night. I can't even believe it. That sounds so crazy, me even saying that. You know why you're having trouble remembering and thinking and identifying with that? Because you are somebody else. You are talking about somebody else. You're not talking about you. You're talking about somebody that died years ago. He's dead. Stop acting like a dead man. I may be talking to myself there. This is the divine order in plan of God. God's Word creates, and the Spirit gives life. It's that simple. So, we know the Word is truth, but the Bible also says the Spirit is truth. Because they're one. So, the Word and the Spirit testifies of the truth. So, watch this. The Word, according to Hebrews, frames our world, but the Spirit fills it. Now, I need you to hold on to that concept. Got it? So now let me go down to 1 John 5:7, and we'll say it again. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So there's three that testify in heaven, But did you know there's also three that testify on the earth? Those are the three that testify in heaven, but there's also three that testify in the earth. Let's read it. 1 John 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies. By the way, anytime you see the word water or oil in the Bible, when it's not specifically talking about, you know, filling lamps, you're still talking about the Spirit. You know, you're flowing with living waters will come out of your belly. There's no water coming out. Okay, you understand? It means the Spirit, right? So it's the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. I'm reading the scripture. Verse 7. For there are three that testify in this earth. You ready? Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. So if you look at three testifying in heaven of the things that exist here on earth through what was already set in the divine plan and order of God, we see that the Spirit, through Jesus Christ, is the only way that we get cleansed, the only way that we get healed. It's the only way that we can come into oneness with God. And you say, why am I teaching this so in depth? Because I don't know if anybody ever has. I don't like ABC lessons. I like them when you're in kindergarten. But I want to be in graduate school. And I want you to be able to look at your Bible and see how we got to the places where we are. Because we can't get to where we're going until we know where we've been. So God's always in agreement with Himself. He's always in agreement with His Word. He's always in agreement with His Spirit all of the time. Watch this. Since before the beginning of time. And that's the consistency that we have. And so you can see then God's all about partnership. You see that? Now, I'm doing this for a reason, because you have to see how God flows through the entities even that are one with Himself. And if you can understand that, it's easier to understand how to flow with the Word. Some people don't know how to flow with the Word. They don't even know what it means. To them, they're just reading a book or reading a bunch of stories. I'm trying to help you. Even in His Word, there's partnerships. Certain things go together. If you look in the Bible, there's just some things that go together in the Bible. Okay, you ready? Sowing and reaping. That's a partnership. And what you understand is there's an expectation on one for the other. And I can say, if someone's having financial trouble, let's say, and they're wondering, I just don't know why God won't bless me. God can't bless you past His Word. I mean, He gave you the formula. If you want to reap abundantly, what do you got to do? So what, let me do it this way. If you sow abundantly, what's going to happen? You're going to reap abundantly. So if you sow abundantly, are you going to have financial problems? Not according to the Word of God. So it's simple cause and effect. You see how this works? And so God partners things together so He can begin to move in your life. The very creation was God moving, then His Word. So the only way God can move in your life is if His Word is being accomplished. Seeking and finding. Most people just think the revelation is going to jump out of the Bible and jump on your head. Do you know how much seeking I have to do to come up with one of these sermons? Ask my family how many hours I put in of study, just so I can make sure, because if I'm not seeking, I ain't finding. You got to hunt stuff. I never like to just hear what everybody else is hearing. If you want to do that, go on, you know, online, man. There's a million Bible teaching classes, and I think you should. Those are all good. You need to know all that. But me, I want something fresh. I want something that when I read it and I see it here and then I notice it over here and then I see it here, the dots all come together and it wads up my face. I'm sitting there going, oh, God. There's sometimes I get up from my chair and I'm like, mm, And from that moment, because I got that revelation, now I'm held to a higher accountability because I have the knowledge. And with that knowledge, I also got the understanding. And now that I have the understanding, I have to be compliant. And if I am, God can then advance me to the next step of my steps being ordered because I'm in the divine order of God. You got it. Believing and receiving. Whoa, believing and receiving. Do you know you just can't say, well, you know, I see that in the Bible. Yeah, so if that's for me, great. No, you got to believe it. I told you the story the other day. By the way, that came out with a happy ending like I said it would. My car just shut off, stopped running in the middle of the road. And I told you I'm sideways in traffic. There's a cop there directing traffic. I can't push it because it's electronic, and you can't put it in neutral. And I tried jumping it off. That has nothing to do with it. He brings a tow truck because it can't go into neutral. He can't get it. It's got to call for a special tow truck. And I'm sitting now, traffic's lined up for two ways. I'm getting stressed. And I looked down and I said, what am I doing? I'm sitting here talking about speaking to the mountain. I just preached it that day. The same day I preached it. And I'm like, hey, dummy, do it. I shouldn't have said that to myself. But sometimes I just have to remind myself that was dumb. And I did it. I said, do you really believe it? And I went, yeah, I didn't really believe it. I mean, I believed it would happen. So what I did is I went back like what I preached in the service. And I went back there and I said, yeah, speak to that mountain. You call those things. And man, I got the anointing on me. And you can ask my wife. She was sitting in the truck probably, 50 feet away. There's that cop directing traffic. Everybody lined up. I said, in Jesus' name, you're going to start. Boom. Bop, 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 bop. I drove by, waved to her and the cop. Both are like. That happened, didn't it? That cop's still wondering where I went. He has no idea. I hope I run into him and say, I'm sorry, bud, I just couldn't stop to tell you. You know what I mean? I didn't want my car to go. And by the way, at that very moment, I said, because I knew it was something bad. And sure enough, when I took it down to the mechanic, he spoke a bad word. He said, oh, that engine's toast. And I said, no, there's no. We ain't doing toast today. I don't eat breakfast. So we're not doing toast today. And I kid you not, that not only I said this, and I don't want to be responsible for it. I want them to take care. I sent it down to that, to the dealer, and they did what it was. It something needed flushed out or something like that. Something happened to it. It was something simple. They flushed it all, got it all done. Did you notice it was sitting out there today? I drove it here. Praising God the whole way. Yeah, because I had to believe to receive it. I believed it. Now I'm receiving it. And I'm going to go out and push the button, and I'm going to be able to drive all the way home with no problems. Are you getting this? That just happened last week, and it just culminated this week. And then praying and hearing from God. How are you going to hear God if you ain't praying? I mean, I've had so many people say, well, I wish God would speak to me. Well, pray. I mean, he's just craving to have a conversation with you. But you can't pray a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Don't pray something you memorized. Step away, Scott, step away. The Bible calls it vain babblings. When people stand up, praise God, God, praise God, praise. Well, I'm glad you're saying the words. But there's nothing in the spirit dictating that it's going anywhere. And praying these rehearsed, regurgitated terms, you might as well be hollering out peanut butter and jelly because it has no meaning from your heart. You're supposed to pray from your heart. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're saying words to just be hearing yourself saying them. So you sound like you know how to pray. Jesus said it makes him sick. Stand in the squares where they're articulate. It ain't articulating prayer. Here's how my prayer looks like. God, you need to help me. I mean, you got to help me, and you got to help me now. I don't know what to do, but you're going to tell me, right? I know you're going to tell me, so here I am. I'll shut up, you talk. And if you're not getting that real in prayer, you need to. Don't sit there, oh, wherefore thou fatherest? Will thou touch me with thinest holiness? Were you born in the 1600s? What are you doing? Stop it. Can you imagine if you just walking down through Walmart and your child just laying on the floor? Oh, fatherest, mightest I have a toyest? Ain't my kid. Why are we so ridiculous in prayer? Oh, you know, if we're going to shoot the holy cow, let's just go ahead and shoot the sacred cows now and get them all shot in the pasture at one time. Listen, when you're praying, guys, just be sincere. And can I say something, please? I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just trying to help you to be intelligent in the way you pray. Is that okay? So please don't take anyone to offense when I say this. But you don't have to remind God who he is through the whole prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Father God, that you're going to do, Father God, what I said you're going to do, Father God, that Father, what are you doing? Hey, Ron, I just wanted to know, Ron, could you come over to the house, Ron, and help me, Ron? Because, Ron, I need you to get some gas in my car, Ron, because if we could just go together, Ron, he'd say, you're a moron. Stop that. So when you're praying, we just got to lose some, you're not going to hear God if you're just saying God the whole time. What's on your heart? Just tell God. And then it's amazing what God will say back to you. And you're not going to, well, you may hear an audible voice. If you do, tell me about it. That'd be kind of cool. But most of the time, you're not going to get an audible voice back. You're going to get what I call a knowing in your knower. It's like all of a sudden, he just speaks to your heart. And it's like, I know. And you don't even know how you know, but you know you know. You follow me? So you have to pray. And you have to be able to hear from God. Speaking the word and setting things in order. Now listen, you know it works, right? I just told you it worked, but are you doing it? How many people need some things set in order in your life? Just tell me the truth. Just go ahead, raise it. I don't want to see them. Look at this. Everybody. Don't raise your hand on this one. Did you speak to it this morning? Did you speak to it last night when you went to bed? On the way home, you're going to talk to it? Listen, people say, well, Bishop, how long am I supposed to speak to it? Until it changes. What does that mean? If a dog walks up in your yard, he won't get out of the yard. How long do you holler? You holler till that critter gets out your yard. See, we say and we know, but are we doing? I'm trying to help somebody here today. I hope we're listening. Where two or more agree. Where two or more agree. Man, how many people need to believe God for something and they need it to come to pass? And you've been praying, you've been believing, but something's not breaking through. Why don't you find somebody? That's two. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Or even three, two or more. And if you agree, it says, my Father in heaven will see that it comes to pass. Man, that's a pretty good promise. But have you done it? Are you doing it? Are you keeping that pressure on? I'm trying to show you how to get things changed in your life, how to get back in the divine order of God. God has a divine order. Let's get back in it. And then there is this. Here's your grace thought. Favor for the faithful. There is just sometimes, for no reason, for no explanation, you didn't purposely say or speak something into existence. You didn't ask for it. But because of your faithfulness, you got favor. God just snuck right up and waylaid you with a favor. You got a promotion, 10 people got overlooked, and you got favor. Look at your neighbor and say, favor isn't fair. Favor comes from faithfulness, not fairness. And don't you think that God doesn't watch everything you do? Don't you think he doesn't know everything you've ever done, everything you've done in private? You think, I didn't see you, the leadership didn't see you. God saw you. And God rewards the faithful, and he rewards them openly. So, yes, sometimes God will just sneak right up on you and just bust you wide open with favor. Praise God. Bust me all day, Lord. How many people like favor? Man, I like some favor. So these are the basic tenets of faith, if you will. And but can I say that they don't just activate themselves. Just because you're aware of them, they don't happen. Matthew 16, 19 says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And listen to this. And whatever, say whatever. That means anything. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Bound. What does that mean? It means something's working against you. It can't work against you no more. What won't work against me? Whatever. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever. Anything. Man, I need this to loose. I need this to break loose. I need this to bust loose. Whatever. You have the power. You got the key. So I'm asking, are you binding? Are you loosing? I bind and loose stuff every day. I'll tell you one thing, because I have to say it or you can't put it into common vernacular. So let's put it like this. There was a contentious spirit operating here when I pulled on the ground last Sunday. I got out of my car. You can ask Pastor Mike. First thing I said, I got out of my car. I go, there's a contentious spirit on this campus. I discerned it right away. And then it started by something as simple as I was trying to get my card out of my wallet to get, you know, the door. And my zipper got hung in there. I barely touched it. And you couldn't have got it out of there with a jackhammer. I said, okay, I see what this is about. And it was like an agitation was here. And I won't go into details, but all through that day, everything did agitate. Everybody kept saying, and I told the prayers, they said, we were picking up the same thing. So you guess what we did? We bound that spirit that had no power to operate against us. We bind it in the earth realm. We bind it in the heaven realm. Therefore, you have no power to operate against us again. And then I loose restoration, healing, and blessing on the other side of it for any problem you caused. Any problem you caused out of that harassment that you created. I could write it down through the week. Everything that happened that was contentious was rectified and healed by last night. Last night, the last component dropped in. This stuff works, but we've got to do it. He gave us the keys, and we've got to. Keys are used to open doors. Do you understand? So how many people need some doors opened up for you? But listen to me, keys are also used to keep stuff out. Oh, hey! And watch this, keys are also made to keep some things in. You don't want me naming stuff, right? Y'all got that? It's simple cause and effect. So I got too much here, so I'm going to close with this. You can sow a financial seed to reap a financial harvest. You can do that. However, no sowing, no reaping. You can speak to a problem and call it back into the order. But no speak, no order. You can pray and turn a situation around. However, no prayer, no turnaround. You have to actually do these things to see the manifestation. Now, if you combine them all, like, let's say Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. So now you pray and you believe that you received it. It'll be yours. Praying and believing. It's like a double barrel shotgun. 2 for 1. Can you imagine? If all of these things we talked about, if you did them every day for just a month, what would happen? Church, we got to get to the place with God where all of these things are just automatic. Why? So then the Spirit can lead us and guide us to do the things we need to do so we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I'm going to leave you with a thought. I want you to visualize with me. Comes from the prophet Ezekiel. And the heavens opened up to him and he's looking up. And he sees the temple of God. And out from under that temple, he sees this river. And it's flowing and it's coming right out from under the temple. And then in his own writing, Ezekiel 47, verse 3, he says, "And the man went eastward with a measuring in his hand, and he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through ankle-deep water." So he's in this vision, and he's walking ankle-deep. What this is a depiction of is what I say water was. In the Bible, it's the Spirit. He's talking about the Spirit. Flowing in the Spirit. The Spirit's flowing from God, the temple of God. It even goes on to say at the end, we won't talk about it, but it heals everything it touches. And this flows coming down. And we all start out, we're ankle deep. The problem is we're ankle deep, but we're still controlling the flow. And we're just trying to learn to kind of walk around in it, get steeped in it. He says, then again, he comes out and he says, he led me through knee-deep water. Gets up to his knee. Now, when you get up to your knees, you don't move around as much. You start slowing down a little bit. Start changing, kind of striding a little bit through the water. But you're still in control. You are still in control. And you're still trying to direct the flow. Sometimes you're going against it. Sometimes you're with it. But at least you're in the Spirit. And then it measured, he said, through waist-deep water. Now he's up to his waist. Now you start getting up to your waist, things start changing. Now you're moving different. You're acting different. You're holding yourself different. Matter of fact, you're not moving around near as much. You're kind of just starting to feel the flow. Like, okay, yeah, I get it now. He said, then once again measured, and it said, now the river that I could not cross because the water had risen and deep enough for swimming, a river that could not be crossed. What does that mean? There's a point where you get and you got to let go. You don't control the flow of your life. And you're just out there and you're going with the flow of God, which means when it touches the banks and the trees on the banks and it heals everything that it touches, you're flowing in that healing. You're flowing in that restoration. So wherever God washes you, to the people that need it, you're bringing healing. You're bringing restoration. You're bringing love. You're bringing help. You're bringing blessing. Why? Because this is the way we establish ourselves in the divine order of God. Can you please stand to your feet? What amazed me this morning during praise and worship, I felt that river start to come in. Did you feel it? And you'll notice when that river came in, I just stopped. I have a flow I have to follow because I'm the pastor and I'm following the order of a service. But when that flow comes in, I just go with the flow. And I felt it flowing over there and healing some folk over here. I felt it running up these center aisles, and I felt people being touched there. We could feel it flowing over here, man. People being touched and healed and restored and blessed. And oh, my God. You see the weight lifting right off them. They felt so much better, and you can see God working. That's where we got to live, church. That's the divine order and plan for God. Because when you're in that river, you're right in the middle of peace. You're right in the middle of contentment, joy unspeakable. Because when you're in that place, nothing else matters. So if you're here today, and you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, remember, that's only the ones who believe overcome. I read you the scripture. So if you want to be one of those who overcome this world and all these things that we've been talking about, first you have to believe on Christ. So if you came today and you said, well, I'd like to do that, Pastor. I want to go ahead and pray the prayer of salvation to make my statement of faith that I'm going to be a believer now. Then you can flow in all of this that God teaches. Your life's about to change so radical. Wash all that old junk away out of your life and put in everything brand new. Man, it's like an overhaul. Wonderful. In a moment, we're going to pray that prayer, and everybody's going to pray together. And when we do that, it's not important that you hear me pray or anybody else. It's that you hear yourself make that prayer of faith. But what I do like to know is I do like to know at least, you know, those of you who are making your first-time resolution, just so while I'm praying, in my mind, I could just kind of agree with you. Because remember, two or more agree. I just want to make sure I'm agreeing with you. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you or anything like that. I just like to know who you are. So if that's anybody today and you'd say, Pastor, when you're praying, will you remember me while you're praying? Just let me see you. Let me see a hand. Let me see you lifted across the board here. Again, you're not joining a church. You're just saying, I want to make sure I'm saved. And I want to know Jesus. Anybody here today? Is there anybody that's not saved? Okay, so guys here. I'm going to say it this way. There's no shame in telling the truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free. Now you can con me. You can con the people around you. But you can't con God. I'm coming out of that pulpit because I asked if there's someone here that needed to be saved and nobody put their hand up, and I know there is. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to come to you. What I want to do is I want to make sure that I've provided ample opportunity, because I've been where you were before. And I stood there, and I was hesitant to raise my hand until finally I put my hand up. And when I did, it changed my life forever. And let me tell you, he's given me a good life. So I'm going to ask again. I'm not going to put any pressure on you. But if that's you, just lift your hand so I can see you are. Again, nobody's going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray. And you're going to be included in that prayer. So can I see your hand? Whoever you are, wherever you are, you're here. One more time, I'm going to look around. Thank you for the hands. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. God always knows by his Spirit. Always. It's never wrong. If you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I got saved, but I kind of did what you used to do. I kind of got off the path a little bit. Don't know how it happened. Let me tell you this, it doesn't matter. It's not what you've done, it's how you recover. So if you want to be included in that prayer today and say, man, I'm going to get it right today. I'm coming back to the middle. I know I got to get my stuff right. Hey, I just want to include you in the prayer today. Are you, can I see your hands? Let me see your hands all over the house. Thank you for that connection. Thank you. Yeah. Because see, the minute you put your hand up, you just gave God permission. That's all you did. Say, God, right here, my address. Like putting your flag up on a mailbox right here. And he's going to make a delivery right where you are. So what I want to do is I want to do exactly what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. But it's not important that you hear me pray. You have to pray it. And when you're done, if you'll pray believing, you have to believe what you pray. The minute you say amen, you're a born-again child of God. You have every right. You have every promise in that word of God. And I celebrate your life as a result. So right now, let's all bow our heads. I want to do exactly what I said. We're going to pray. So repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins on a cross. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home, and you are my Lord. I believe it. Now confess it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise in here today. Now, for those of you who made either a commitment or a rededication, please, before you go, stop out there at the hub and just let somebody know, because we want to make sure you have resources and materials, anything we can go, because the enemy would love nothing more than to try to steal your moment of glory. And we want to make sure that we help you allow him not to do that, because we want God to finish what he started. Amen. Come on, can you give him one more hand clap of praise? I know I don't get to tell you enough, but I want to thank you for being mature enough where I could get up here and I could cut this word up and I could chop it up, and then you want to receive it, that you actually take the word and you're doing something with it. So I want to challenge you, take what you've learned, go out of here, let's go flow outside these walls. Next week, bring somebody to church, bring four or five people to church. Let's fill this place up and let's do what God called us to do as a church, okay? God bless you.